providing you with informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A wildfire in southern Arizona burning just outside Tucson grew over the weekend to engulf now more than 11,000 acres. That blaze reportedly only 5% contained now, and winds are making the job even harder on the nearly 1,000 firefighters on the line. They're working especially hard to keep the blaze away from communications towers and an observatory that belonged to the University of Arizona. Meanwhile, one person's dead, seven others are injured after a tornado over the weekend in Deschler, Nebraska. Heavy storms and several twisters were reported along the Nebraska-Kansas border over the weekend. At least two U.S. senators are finally voicing the likely truth about just how long American soldiers will have to stay in Iraq. Appearing yesterday on ABC's This Week, a Delaware Democratic Senator Joe Biden bluntly called on President Bush to be upfront about American soldiers' future commitment in Iraq.
It's time the president go to the American people and tell them the facts. And the facts are Johnny and Jane ain't coming home anytime soon.
Biden was joined on yesterday's program by Indiana Republican Senator Richard Lugar, who said it will likely take at least another 5 years to rebuild Iraq, and he warned the U.S. should be careful to avoid leaving the region prematurely. Secretary of State Colin Powell is pushing economic development as the best way to end continuing violence in the Middle East. The secretary made his comments while attending a global economic meeting taking place in Jordan.
With peace, you need economic development, or the people will not benefit from that peace. And to get economic development, you also need investment in the human capital that exists in the region. And that's why also the Middle East Partnership Initiative is important, so that we can invest in the infrastructure of each of the nations in the region.
The meeting has drawn about 1,900 participants from around the world. Prior to today, much of that meeting had focused on the reconstruction of Iraq, as well as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. One Israeli representative said he now felt business could be conducted in the Middle East, with Saddam Hussein apparently out of power. A Palestinian businessman also voiced his concerns. The ongoing violence in the region and the economy are inseparable.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Pakistani officials say they've arrested five people now they believe are linked to the murder of American reporter Daniel Pearl. Officials say the suspects are an Islamic militant and four of his followers. One authority says the suspected militant leader is among the worst terrorists in the country. It's 1-1 for the University of Michigan's minority admissions policies. The Supreme Court ruled the law school's affirmative action admissions policy is constitutional, but it struck down the school's policy on undergraduate minority admissions. Today's rulings are the court's first decisions on affirmative action in 25 years.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Russia's last major private television station has now gone dark, leaving the country with only government-controlled networks. And critics are worried the move has put Russian democracy in danger. War from correspondent Anya Ardaeva.
TVS, Russia's last independent television network, was shut off by the courts after it failed to pay some $60 million in debts. But many in Moscow believe the closure was linked to politics. With Russia's parliamentary and presidential elections coming up, critics here say the government wants to make sure it controls the most important media in the country, television. The country's three main television channels, RTR, ORT, and NTV, are now partly or fully managed by the state. Russian press are criticizing the shutdown, saying that the era of private television has come to an end. According to reports, TVS will be replaced with a government-owned sports channel. Anya Ardaeva, Moscow.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Radio program broadcasting from the IE America Radio Network, beamed up into space to the ABC Starguide 3 satellite, down onto terrestrial radio stations all across the United States, beamed also up to the Sirius radio satellite, Sirius satellite radio receivers you can get for your car. They now have a home model as well, just came out this month of June. And that's on channel 145, Sirius Left, their left-leaning talk channel. And broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, one of the Internet's larger radio stations now with 1.7 million users. And from the website of this network, www.ieamericaradio.com. Be sure you put the radio in there, or you'll get one of the weirder spam sites on Earth. And today we are going to cover a whole lot of stuff here. We're going to start out with some news of the day. We've got, are you registered for the MoveOn.org vote? What's going on with that? What's going on with Howard Dean? He's announcing his candidacy as we speak over in Burlington, Vermont. Lots of stuff going on with the Democratic candidates. What's going on with the Republicans? Well, later on in the day we're going to have on as a guest the fellow who has written the articles, proposed articles of impeachment against George Bush for committing high crimes and misdemeanors, and in fact felonies, against the people of the United States. And we'll get into the details of that. George Bush, the first president of the United States ever to come into office a convicted criminal. And now they're suggesting nailing him a second time. Some emails here, letters of various kinds. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to join the folks in our chat room, there's already an interesting discussion in there about Tim Russert and his interview yesterday, which I missed. Apparently, he was talking to Howard Dean, I think, yesterday. I was traveling home from Detroit. Last Friday, we did the show from the studio at IE. And to get to the chat room, go to www.tomhartman.com. on the Internet, click on the link to the radio program, and then on that page you'll see a link both in the center of the page and over on the left on the nav bar to the chat room. That will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which has really nice chat software, and which I run, so we're able to use it as our home. And just click the chat button when you get there, and boom, you're in. No charge. You don't have to sign up for anything. No credit cards or any of that kind of nonsense. It's completely free. It does register IP addresses. So if anybody comes in and tries to do anything grossly illegal, you know, CompuServe can do something about that. But other than that, it's a great place to hang out. So our mail for today, I got a letter from my senator. I'm broadcasting, of course, live here from the People's Republic of Vermont. And all three of the members of our congressional delegation, Bernie Sanders, our representative, who is an independent. He was the former mayor of Burlington, Vermont, before he went to Congress. And I believe he was a socialist when he was the mayor. Pat Leahy, who is the Democrat. And Jim Jeffords, of course, who is also an independent, like Bernie Sanders, now having left the Republican Party in disgust over the No Child Left Behind joke that was passed during the first year of the Bush administration, and then this year was essentially defunded. They cut tens of millions of dollars out of it. First of all, they go in and they say, oh, the school, you got to do this and this and this, and then they say, this year, they said, and we're not going to pay for it. We've got every state in the union in crisis on this thing. But I digress. This is going to lead to the topic of our discussion for the second and third hour of the program today. This letter from Senator Patrick Leahy. Dear Tom and dear Mr. and Mrs. Hartman, thank you for contacting me about the ongoing search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There is no question that Saddam Hussein was a brutal dictator. However, as Senator Leahy says, President Bush made the case for preemptive unilateral war against Iraq primarily on the grounds that Saddam Hussein posed an unacceptable threat to the security of the United States and the world. The administration argued that Saddam Hussein had to be removed because he had chemical and biological weapons and that he was trying to build a nuclear weapon. Senior administration officials made many categorical statements on this issue. It has now been many months since the end of the Iraq War. While it would be premature to conclude that Iraq abandoned its efforts to stockpile WMD, U.S. forces have searched most of the key sites where the administration suspected chemical and biological weapons were located. Virtually nothing has been found. It also seems, and now we know, even though Sean Hannity and these people at Fox News, they are, of course, you know, Roger Ailes, the Reagan's former campaign manager, runs Fox News, so I guess you have to expect it. But Sean Hannity and these guys are continuing to call those two mobile labs mobile biological weapons labs, when, in fact, British intelligence last week, and this was all over the British news, it was on BBC, and it was even picked up in a few American newspapers, investigated them and found out that, in fact, they were made to produce helium for the helium balloons that are necessary for long-range artillery, for the calibration of long-range artillery. And, in fact, the British had sold them the earlier version of those labs to manufacture helium. The things broke down, and because of the embargo, the British couldn't supply them with new parts and replacements, so they jerry-rigged together their own version of it, and that's what was found. And this is like a fact. Even our administration is not challenging this. The only people out there challenging that, the only people out there who are continuing to claim that these were weapons labs, are Sean Hannity and the great Republican lie machine called Fox News. Anyhow, if my producer gives me a wide eye. It's a lie, Louise. It is a lie, and they are promulgating it. There is no question, Patrick Leahy says, there is no question that Saddam Hussein was a brutal dictator. However, President Bush made the case for preemptive unilateral war against Iraq, primarily on the ground. Oh, I already read that part. Virtually nothing has been found. It also seems reasonable to believe that Iraq was not teeming with weapons of mass destruction and that these weapons were not available to frontline Iraqi forces, as some of the administration initially suggested. I am very concerned that some Bush administration officials, I'm now reading from this letter from Senator Patrick Leahy, are now saying that it does not really matter that the United States has not found weapons of mass destruction. It does matter. For reasons related to both U.S. national security and American credibility around the world. The United States fought a war largely on the basis of these claims. Americans and innocent Iraqi civilians died in that war. Bush lied and people died. Moreover, that's my commentary, not Patrick Leahy. Back to Senator Patrick Leahy's letter. Moreover, it is critical to determine what happened to the chemical and biological weapons materials that Iraq had back in 1998, which it never reported having destroyed. The absence of these weapons raises a number of serious questions, including, if the administration was certain that they knew that Saddam had these weapons, where are they? Have they been given to terrorists? Were they taken across the border to Syria and Iran? Do members of Saddam's government have them? Or was the United States acting on bad information? Is this a massive intelligence failure? Or was intelligence data misinterpreted? Senator Leahy concludes by saying the administration needs to get to the bottom of what happened, and I believe Congress must hold open, bipartisan, and thorough hearings. Well, sorry, Senator Leahy, it looks like that is not going to happen. We'll get to that in a moment. Thus far, I am disappointed that the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee and Intelligence Committees have not agreed to hold these types of hearings. Very sincerely yours, Patrick Leahy, United States Senator. So, there are a few men of integrity and women of integrity in the United States Senate. It's interesting, when you go back to Richard Nixon's impeachment, it was a Republican. Oh, who was it? It's going to take me a minute. Anyhow, it was a Republican who started the chant, "What did the president know and when did he know it?" And the reason why, of course, was because he believed that when the truth came out, Nixon would be vindicated. And I think it's interesting that the Republicans are now not saying, "What did the president know and when did he know it?" Now, if they believed that he hadn't lied to us, you would think that they would be promoting that point of view. What did he know and when did he know it? Let's prove it so that we can clean this thing up and show that our president, although he's lied to us about a lot of things, he's lied to us about his education policies, he's lied to us about his tax cuts, he's lied to us about health care, he's lied to us about his own past, about his use of cocaine, about his drunken driving. He has repeatedly lied. That did he lie about this? Good question. Good question. And you would think that the Republicans, if they really believe that this guy told the truth, would say, "Hey, let's do this out in the open." But no, it's not happening. In fact, here, this is from the House Appropriations Committee, United States government, House.gov website. Bush, on December 19th, 02, speaking at a Washington, D.C. food bank about the importance of funding food banks, he said, and I quote, "I hope people around this country realize that agencies such as this food bank need money. They need our contributions. Contributions are down. They shouldn't be down in a time of need. We shouldn't let the enemy affect us to the point where we become less generous. Our spirit should never be diminished by what happened on September the 11th, 2001. Quite the contrary, we must stand squarely in the face of evil by doing some good." George Bush has such great speechwriters. Here's the reality, according to the House Budget Committee. And I quote, "The 2003 and 2004 Bush budgets proposed to freeze the Congregate Nutrition Program, which assists local soup kitchens and Meals on Wheels programs. With inflation, this proposal would mean at least 36,000 seniors would be cut from Meals on Wheels and congregate meal programs. Currently, 139,000 seniors are already on waiting lists for home meal programs. Bush's 2004 budget continues that freeze." Our quote from the day for the day from Robert F. Kennedy. He said, "Few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. And in the total of all those acts will be written the history of this generation." Never underestimate the power of an action that you yourself can take. Small steps. That's how the world gets changed. David Broder wrote a piece it was syndicated. We picked it up from the Burlington Free Press last week, in which he talks about Norquist, Grover Norquist, the irascible, irrepressible conservative, the ultimate con, this guy. Limbaugh talks about libs. We'll talk about cons here. The ultimate con, he's the one who suggested that the con agenda was to, quote, "drown government in a bathtub," end quote. Sort of like Ayn Rand, Grover Norquist thinks that governments are either evil or non-existent. This guy is not a Republican, in my opinion. He's an anarchist. He's certainly not a Republican in the way that the word was used back by James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and the likes. Incredible. Norquist, he says, and I quote, this from Grover Norquist, "is because the 2002 redistricting gave Republicans a lock on the House of Representatives, until 2012. Well, this is going someplace, and it's going someplace really interesting. Got a break coming up, though. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer. At the briefing today,
the job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty then.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away
let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going.
Things work when you make them work. Words of wisdom for the day. Robert Kennedy, few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events, and in the total of all those acts will be written the history of this generation. In our chat room today, some interesting conversations. Green Babuji says, I think that the credibility the Bush administration have brought is close to nil. Can anyone take Bush and Blair to the International War Crimes Tribunal? I think there's a clear case against them now that they've failed to find WMDs in Iraq. Well, they haven't failed to find them yet. What they have failed to do, though, clearly with this period of time, is demonstrate that there was such a huge stockpile and it was so mobile and available that it actually... a claim Tony Blair had made that was within 45 minutes, Saddam Hussein could strike Britain with WMDs, and clearly that was not the case. If you'd like to be on the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is the number, and Rama in Williamstown, Vermont,
People's
Republic
doing,
here. Hey, Rama, welcome to the program.
You were just reading that letter from Leahy a few minutes ago. I'm not sure how long. I was listening to you on the Internet, and there's a little bit of lag time there. But you were talking about, in a way, how I guess you were congratulating him on taking the stance he has. And I actually am kind of frustrated and disappointed with a lot of these folks in that it's taken them this long to actually stand up and start speaking. You know, I mean, from politicians down in the federal government, we should be able to expect leadership, but they sat around and stuck, you know, wet their fingers and stuck it up in the air. And when the wind changed and it became safe and it was obvious it was this great undercurrent of dissatisfaction with Bush, that they started speaking up. And, yeah. You know, I would have appreciated it much better out of all of these guys and women down in Washington if they had spoken up a long time ago to help us poor peons out. I mean, I never thought I would look at Senator Byrd and say, boy, he's my hero right now, you know. He had a lot about government usage that I didn't like, but, man, at least he from the get-go stated very forthrightly and honestly how he felt. He didn't wait to see how the rest of us were feeling at the time.
Yeah, Robert Byrd was one of those ones who probably didn't think he had a lot to lose. I mean, he's a very elderly gentleman. His position is very secure in West Virginia.
Yeah.
He's well thought of by his constituents, and he doesn't have political ambitions. He doesn't plan to run for president or anything like that, and so he's just been calling it as he saw it right from day one.
And if I could, just on the subject of Byrd real quick, for such an old man, that guy is eloquent and with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you,
Tom. He's remarkable. Yeah, thanks for calling, Rama. I appreciate the call. It's always good to have you on the program. It's kind of sad to hear Rush Limbaugh referring to Robert Byrd as Sheets Byrd. You know, it's like this character assassination. So, oh, my goodness. Philip in Florida has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Philip, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yes, hi. I don't know if you guys were watching some of the Talking Heads show yesterday.
I wasn't. I was on airplanes all day.
Okay. Well, two came to mind. One was Washington Week, where they basically announced that the election is over, that Bush can't be beat. And I was thinking back personally, back around this time in 1991, when Bush the first was running for re-election, and I thought to myself, you know, the Democrats might as well just concede without even running a candidate. This guy is unbeatable.
Well, I think a lot of us thought that. That was certainly the story
in the
news.
This seems like deja vu,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it does. Philip, can you hold the line for just a second? I'd like to get the rest of your report from the weekend shows here. We've got a commercial coming up. We'll be back in just a couple moments. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
General Motors has announced it will float $13 billion worth of new bonds to shore up its grossly underfunded pension plan. At the end of 2002, GM's pension funds were more than $19 billion in the red, the largest pension deficit of any U.S. company. The bigger picture of corporate America itself is not good either. The 500 companies rated on the Standard & Poor's Stock Index have pension accounts that are collectively underfunded by at least $240 billion.
Hundreds of teachers and public employees took to the streets of downtown Miami last Friday protesting school privatization plans and a standardized testing system they charge is testing Florida's children to death. Joe Cortese, head of the Dade County School Maintenance Employee Committee, says workers' wages and benefits suffer when schools are sold off to the private sector.
Privatization just doesn't work, and that's all there is to it. We've showed them that in no uncertain terms. And we are not going to let them do it down here. We've been fighting them tooth and nail.
Under a state law favored by Florida Governor Jeb Bush, public school students in the Sunshine State are required to pass a standardized test called the FCATs in order to advance from one grade to the next. As a result, more than 12,000 Florida high school seniors who would have otherwise graduated weren't able to pick up their diplomas this year. Most of them were black or Hispanic students. Shirley Johnson, acting president of the United Teachers of Dade County, says elementary school children are being held back too.
We have over close to about 7,000 third graders who may not be going into the fourth grade.
Oh, no.
We have to make sure that no child is left behind.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Sitting in the forest in Vermont here on a beautiful sunny day. Going to be 80 degrees. I hope wherever you are, the weather is as good. It is just a great day to be alive. We were talking with Philip in Florida. He was bringing us a recap of the weekend talk shows. Philip,
yeah.
I think I cut you
off
in midstream
there. They were all saying, gee, you know, the economy is poised for a recovery. I mean, how many years have they been saying that?
Well, I think that the economy actually is going to have what's called a pre-election recovery. If you go back over the last 30 years or so and look at economic cycles, you find, particularly when the Fed is consonant with the administration. Greenspan's going to drop the prime another point or so, or quarter of a point.
Well, you know, that didn't work in Japan. They brought the prime rate all the way down to zero.
Oh, I know. They've got deflation. Well, it's not
okay,
zero.
Okay, and the reason for that is that the Walkmans that you used to buy, the Sony televisions, the amplifiers, the preamplifiers, the cars, all of this stuff that we imported from Japan over the last 20 years isn't made in Japan anymore.
Oh, I know.
They exported those jobs to Indonesia and China.
Yeah, it's the same problem we have here. Is
right.
That we have hollowed out our industrial infrastructure.
Right. But we don't want to look. We don't want to learn from their behavior. We want to repeat what all the mistakes that they've done.
No, I agree, and I think that our long term trend economically is a very dangerous one. We're standing on the edge of this. In fact, I've got some really startling information here I want to share with you on this on account of this in just a moment.
Well, can I just share something with you?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
My brother is an executive for a very famous Japanese electronics company. He's a very high executive. And he said, you'll see Japan become just like a third world country. Because we have exported all those good jobs to Indonesia, to Japan, and some to Mexico.
Yeah.
And he's been there a number of times, and he's an executive for the company.
Yeah,
now,
I've been there a number of times, too. I used to do business in Japan, and I've seen dramatic changes in the last 25 years.
Right. And how are we going to bring back an economy in which jobs have been exported?
Well, the only way is to repeal WTO and NAFTA. Or GATT and NAFTA, and
that's not going to happen.
I wouldn't take it entirely off the table. We've backed out of a lot of different treaties, or we could do it in a more cautious fashion by just starting to impose tariffs and things. But the World Trade Organization would kill us for doing that. These are treaties that are toxic to us. Philip, thanks for your comments.
All right.
I appreciate your calling. Ed in Seattle has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the program, Ed.
Hey, thank you, Armin. How are you doing?
I am well. How are
Great.
You?
Great. It's always a pleasure to listen to your show. Because out here, everything is so right-wing now. You just can't listen to a show that's going to have all kinds of views, positive and negative, at least tell the people part of the truth. But I wanted to share something with you. I don't know whether or not you were able to see the New Republic that was put out today, June 23rd here, rather. And they were talking about the WMDs, and their trademark for that is the selling of the Iraq War, the first cavalry. Right. And they have Bush up there, and I got a chance to read it. And apparently there is a lot that was going on that these people came up with. It really needs to be verified. I mean, from Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and as far as I'm concerned, 80% of them got to be liars. They just, something had to happen where they had to lie to us. And they talk about the pressure that the CIA was under and all the other agencies that they had to come up with to give Cheney and the rest of them information that they could use toward us, giving us, the American people, their opinion on what Iraq had or did not have. And
there's
a lot of this going on.
We're going to get into that in a lot of detail between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, talking to...
Oh, that would be great. I would love to, because my impression is if they can investigate Clinton for sex, have him, his family, and all these others to get lawyers to defend themselves, will this big, huge $20 million campaign Mr. Bush is going on, is there any way we can get some kind of committee to make him and his cronies get lawyers to defend them against all this, especially the American lives that are lost, not to mention the Iraqi lives that are innocent lives that were lost? I mean, we dropped 1,000-pound bombs on those people. For what? Because of what Cheney them said that they might have had? Help me out. I hope to God you can get someone that can just straighten some of the airways out. I will be listening. Thank you.
Okay, great. Ed, thank you for your comments. I appreciate and agree, and this is one that I think that we need to just remember.
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
And thus, That, among others, this was one of the major arguments that was made for why we should be attacking Iraq from George Bush's speech back in September, 2 months before the 2002 elections. And, of course, it became, are you with us or against us, the big issue of the 2002 elections. Without this as an issue, the Republicans probably would not have taken the House and Senate. Certainly, some of the very high-profile cases, for example, Max Cleland in Georgia, the war veteran who lost three limbs in Vietnam, who was defeated by a draft-dodging Republican who ran television advertisements questioning his patriotism because of his reaction to that speech you just heard from George Bush. This spun the election in 2002, and they're hoping it'll spin it in 2004. Now, what's underneath this, David Broder, in his column, Norquist tipped off the Democrats, says that what's really in the con agenda here is a massive rollback in federal revenues and what Norquist regards as a desirable shrinkage of federal services and benefits. In short, the goal is a system of government wiped clean on both the revenue and spending side of almost a full century's accumulation of social programs designed to provide a social safety net beneath the private economy. Said Norquist, quote, we don't have to try to operate under the radar screen. We can be very open about our agenda. And I wonder how long it's going to be before Americans wake up to what's going on, to what's really going on here with this stuff. Well, let's get on to our topic here for the hour. Are you registered for the move-on vote? This is a hot one. This is going to be really interesting. This has never happened before in the history of democracy that an electronic medium like the internet has been used as a tool or a technique or a system for advancing a political process within a political party. And you'll remember back when we first started the United States. Back in 1787, James Madison in the Federalist Papers argued strongly against political parties ever emerging, because he and even his political enemy Alexander Hamilton, who agreed with him in this, all realized that the type of government they were putting together would work best if either A, there were no political parties, and people simply ran for office based on what their positions were on issues, or if political parties emerged, there could only be two because of the winner-take-all nature of the elections. And that was in Madison's view, because if there were only two parties, that meant that you could have an election where if two parties were running against each other, 51% of the people vote for one candidate, and so you have a winner. But what that means is that 49% of the people, which is a not insignificant number, a lot of folks, are not represented. I mean, we have a situation right now where the Republicans are claiming mandates and huge victories. You know, they hold the House and Senate by 12 votes, by 12 seats. I mean, this is just the thinnest of majorities. And yet they have been able to just, you know, to wipe out environmental regulations, change the face of education, drive through almost $2 trillion in tax cuts, increase the federal debt, all these things that they've been able to do claiming a mandate. Well, James Madison looked at that and said this would be a disaster, but he didn't have a solution. This was 1787. This was the brand new idea of democracy. Didn't know what better to do. It wasn't until 1841 that John Stuart Mill, who wrote On Democracy, and another book, a famous book, the title of which is escaping me at the moment, but anyhow, John Stuart Mill came up with the idea of proportional representation, that if 20% of the people vote for one particular candidate or one particular party or one particular position, that 20% of the elected representatives should reflect that position. And that's the kind of government that they have in England and in France and in Germany. And that's why in those countries you see that, you know, the Green Party has 12% of the seats and the Social Democrats have, you know, each party, each position, right across the spectrum, from extreme right, through the middle, through the left, to the extreme left, every party is represented. Because their democracies were invented after John Stuart Mill invented the idea of proportional representation. But that wasn't available to Madison and Jefferson and Franklin. They hadn't thought about it. They were basing it more on the Iroquois model. And so, anyhow, we have this situation. So now, these two changes that are happening in democracy that hold tremendous promise. One is the idea of instant runoff voting. We'll talk about that a little more later on. And many of you are probably familiar with it in any regard. And its variations, such as are practiced in Australia. And the second is this idea of bringing the Internet into the game. Now, MoveOn.org, which is a group that was started way back during the Clinton administration impeachment hearings, to advocate the idea that, hey, let's move on beyond this stuff. You know, what this guy did might have been wrong, but is this, you know, do we really want to shut down the government for a year over this? That's what MoveOn.org first came out about, and now they've kind of reinvented themselves a few times as times have changed and issues have changed, and now they're running what is really the first presidential primary in America. And it's interesting that many of the conservative talk show hosts are recommending that their listeners go to the MoveOn.org website and register to vote so that they can screw this thing up. This is, you know, in the fine tradition of politics, both Republicans and Democrats have historically done this, getting in and messing with the system. And there's what's really interesting is who they're suggesting the conservatives should vote for. We'll get to that in just a second. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you want to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut is on the line. Welcome to the program, Tim.
Hi, Tom. Well, hey. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure whether this, quote, electronic primary, as some people are really calling it, will really count. Obviously, the disenfranchised, the poor, that sort of thing that don't have access to the Internet is so heavily going to askew the total representation of people who are actually would actually turn out and vote.
Oh, yeah, and I think everybody understands that.
And that's very concerned. Obviously, a couple of candidates like Dean who've really targeted the Internet very, very well, which is getting them a lot of buzz. I'm not sure how much real traction that might have. But and certainly the Kucinich people who are trying to target this and say that they're, you know, one of the mid- or up-tier candidates, that's what's going on. You were talking about, you know, the conservatives crossing over. I know a lot of Greens that are trying to get into this and vote for Kucinich and to try to throw some weight behind his candidacy instead of just the conservatives like Lieberman or some others
right.
that are out there. So that's, you know, these open-ended primaries, you know, are quite, you know, bothersome to me in many ways. I really, although I'm a Green, I think that the Democrats should, you know, vote for Democrats and Republicans vice versa. We certainly can look at what happened to Cynthia McKinney, where Republicans crossed over in the Democratic primary and threw her out by the narrowest of margins. Because
well, Cynthia McKinney
like
was a special case. She was the victim of a huge Republican dirty trick.
Right.
She was quoted in media all over the place as having said something. I don't remember the exact quote, but as having said something that she never said.
Right.
And it was used by Republicans in their campaign ads. It was used in the media. It was quoted in the Atlanta Constitution. I mean, everybody thought that Cynthia McKinney said, and she never, ever said what they said that she said, and she lost the race because of something that she never said. I mean, she was a victim of the classic Republican Dirty Tricks campaign.
But, you know, I'm just, you know, kind of concerned about it. So early in this situation, the Democrats have already said that they want to, quote, weed out some of the quote, lower tier, and I think that's, you know, Kucinich, Sharpton, and Braun to try to make their, you know, their base even more conservative already. So if people are progressives and still hope, you know, to influence that Democratic primary, I'd like to, you know, I think that they should get into that move on thing. There's a cost also, isn't there?
There's a what?
There's a cost to actually voting in the primary on this thing?
No, it's free.
I thought that there was going to be some like $20 you know, fee or something like that to get involved. Perhaps if other people have read that, but I thought there was a little bit of cost. But
opportunity. Yeah, when you sign up, it takes you to the page where if you want to make a contribution to the group.
Oh, okay.
But there is no cost to this. And the way that they're doing it, so that they don't, you know, I mean, like the polls, like the CNN online kind of polls where you click the button and vote, are just kind of a joke because you can just hit that button over and over and over again. With these things, they're emailing you a ballot. You have to pre-register, and I think you have to be pre-registered by the end of the day today. So you need to go to moveon.org to pre-register. And then they will email you a ballot tomorrow, and you can vote that one ballot. Once you've voted it, it's expired. So
and that's
suppose
a strictly one vote, you know, ranking
that's
or
right.
anything like that?
That's right. Now, I assume, you know, if somebody wanted to go to the trouble of setting up a bunch of different email accounts and registering for each one, they could do multiple votes. But that's going to be so much hassle that I don't think that, you know, it's going to be a big issue. But, you know, I've gotten four pieces of email in the last week about Kucinich. You know, go log on. More than I have from the Dean campaign. So I think Kucinich is going to do well in this thing, too. Tim, thank you for the call. I appreciate your calling in. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
I say it's like fire.
No, I'd say blowtorch.
I describe it this way. Oh.
They're talking about the burn of indigestion and pain. How can you cool the burning fast? With Alka-Seltzer. Effervescent Alka-Seltzer is ready to go to work instantly to cool the burn of indigestion and pain fast. Alka-Seltzer with the refreshing lemon-lime taste. Nothing cools the burn of indigestion and pain faster. Use as directed.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah!
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed. Rolling home to you.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. It's likely that no single candidate will be able to reap the necessary 50% plus one of votes in the move-on candidacy and the move-on primary campaign here, according to Wes Boyd, the organization's founder and leader. So they're probably going to have to do a series where the first one will winnow out a few folks and then the second one. But what they're saying, this is a group that has raised millions of dollars in the past for previous electoral events and will no doubt raise millions of dollars for future ones, moveon.org. And what they're saying is they may hold a series of elections. And if there is a clear majority of more than 50% majority of people who clearly support one particular candidate, then Move On is going to throw their support between now and the presidential elections. And this is an organization that can raise millions of dollars and do an enormous amount of PR. And for that reason, I've been getting emails from the Dean campaign, from the Kucinich campaign. I got one from the Kerry campaign. Apparently the Kerry campaign is actually running phone banks where they're calling people up and saying, would you like to register? Give us your email address. And then they go online and register people on their behalf so that they'll get that ballot and email so that they can vote. An article in today's Burlington newspaper, one of the Vermont newspapers here, about that. And somebody on the Dean campaign got a call from the Kerry campaign saying, how'd you like us to help, you know, pre-register you? And so now the Dean campaign is calling folks. And I don't think that they're offering to pre-register them, but they're encouraging them to go sign up to moveon.org. And oddly enough, the cons, Limbaugh and those and that bunch, are suggesting that their people sign up and go on and vote for either Kucinich or Dean, more specifically, more often Dean, because they think that these two candidates will be the George McGoverns of the next time around. Time will tell. It's the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be back after the news.
It's coming through a hole in the air. From those beds, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A southern Arizona wildfire that swept through a mountain ski resort town last week has now grown to more than 11,000 acres. Officials outside Tucson say the containment effort has been hampered, with the blaze being fueled by strong winds, and that fire is now only about 5% contained. More than 200 buildings have already been destroyed by the blaze. Some 900 firefighters are currently on the line fighting the fire, and authorities say the effort has already cost more than $2.5 million. Two U.S. senators are voicing sobering predictions about just how long American soldiers will stay in Iraq, and they won't likely be home anytime soon. Both Indiana Republican Senator Richard Lugar and Delaware Democrat Joe Biden told ABC's This Week yesterday U.S. soldiers are likely to be on the ground in the war-ravaged Gulf state for possibly another half decade. Biden also accused President Bush of being less than forthright about the American military commitment in Iraq.
We're talking about tens of thousands of troops for an extended period of time. We knew that from the beginning. It's time the president leveled the American people, because no foreign policy can be sustained without the informed consent of the American people.
While saying it may take 5 years to rebuild the country, Senator Lugar said leaving any sooner would, quote, short-circuit the whole process of ridding the region of terrorism. The U.S. Supreme Court has partly upheld affirmative action admissions at the University of Michigan. The High Court said the university's policy for admission to its law school, which does take race into account, is constitutional. However, the justices ruled there must be limits on just how large a factor race can play in the selection process. In a separate decision, the court struck down the university's policy on affirmative action in its undergraduate admissions. Secretary of State Colin Powell says it is crucial not to allow a few individuals, in his words, to stand in the way of the current Middle East peace plan. Powell's attending the World Economic Forum in Jordan, and he met last night with officials of the four nations most responsible for coming up with the latest peace plan. He says the search for stability in the region cannot stop. His comments come after more violence yesterday, when four Palestinian militants were killed when a bomb they were planting apparently exploded prematurely.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Greek officials are investigating if hundreds of tons of explosives found on a ship seized off the coast and headed for Tunisia were destined for a terrorist group. Bomb experts are examining the cargo, and the seven crew aboard the Baltic Sky are due to be questioned by a public prosecutor later today. Scientists in London have discovered a gene that can apparently halt the development of ovarian cancer, and almost 90% of the tumors they tested, researchers at Britain's Cancer Research UK charity found the specific gene didn't function in the early stages of the disease. They then say developing tumors were suppressed when the gene was, in effect, put back to work.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better.
How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
The Belgian government's revealed plans to reduce the scope of its war crimes legislation. Both President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair have actually been indicted under the current law, which, of course, hasn't set very well with many Western leaders. The story now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The Belgian law has led to prosecutions relating to conflicts in Rwanda and the Balkans, but indictments issued against American and British officials, including President Bush and Tony Blair, led to a standoff, with the Bush administration threatening to withdraw funding for the new NATO headquarters in Belgium unless assurances were given its officials could travel to the country without fear of arrest. Now the Belgian Prime Minister has planned to modify the law so that either the defendant or the victim in a war crimes case must be a Belgian national or resident. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And the Federal Reserve Board is expected to announce another interest rate cut again this week when they conclude their meetings on Wednesday. Federal funds rate currently at its lowest level in 42 years. It will be the 13th time since January 2001 the Fed has cut rates. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program today on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations all across the United States, from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, which you can get in your Chrysler, Ford, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, Land Rover, Mazda, Volvo, Mercedes, and Jaguar car. Standard equipment, actually, or you can add it to any car. In fact, they've just come out now with a home unit for the Sirius radio satellite, and Louise and I got one, and it is a cool toy. And also broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com. This is the Tom Hartman radio program, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. If you want to change things, get out and vote. If you're not registered, register. And, of course, registering for the MoveOn.org vote does not mean that you are registered to vote in a presidential primary if you have not done that. As Mac in Santa Fe so eloquently reminds us, do it! Get out there and be sure that you are genuinely registered. Regime change begins at home, says the folks at MoveOn.org, the Political Action Committee. Are you registered for the MoveOn.org vote? If so, who are you going to vote for? Interesting topic. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We've got quite a conversation going in our chat room. To get to the chat room, go to TomHartmann.com and click on the link to the radio program, click on the link to the chat room, and when you get into the trade form, click on the chat button, and it'll pop open a chat window for you there, and you'll see a whole bunch of folks having a conversation. And it seems that the most of the conversation has to do with the fact that George Bush is raising $200 million, and how can anybody match that? Bush massively outspent Gore in the last election, of course. Gore still got more votes. And according to the New York Times, when they finally did the recount of Florida, actually even won the electoral vote. But nonetheless, he's not the president right now, or he's not the guy sitting in the White House. So money does tell. And in fact, in 96% of all congressional and Senate elections in the last 8 years, the person who spent the most money was the person who won. And that's the only variable that is absolutely consistent and measurable. You look at positions, you look at policies, all those things, you find correlations in the 60, 70, 80%, but the one thing that constantly correlates is cash. You can buy elections in the United States. And so some of the folks in our chat room are suggesting things like, in talking about this topic, suggesting things that perhaps we should go with a system like they have in England, where there are absolute spending caps. If you're running for the House of Commons in England, you can't spend more than a certain amount of money. I believe it's £100,000. In England, they have a radio and television network, BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, which is absolutely independent of any political party. It doesn't respond to those in power. You hear people complain about NPR and they say, well, the government runs NPR. No, the government does not run NPR. The government funds NPR, but they do not run it. And there is a significant difference. And on BBC, all of the candidates, and there's local BBC stations as well as national ones, the candidates have time to present their case to the people. Should we be changing the way we're funding elections in the United States? I'm strongly of the opinion that we should. I believe that we should have some sort of national funding. And beyond that, the big step, in my mind, is that we need to get corporate money out. Out. Absolutely out. Throw them out. Corporate money completely out of the way in political campaigns. There is no place for corporate money in political campaigns. It's an extremely destructive thing. We have a situation now that's essentially bribery. Consider this law that was on the books in the state of Wisconsin up until the 1950s. It was just ignored through most of the 20th century, but it was actually put on the books back in the 1800s, as were similar laws in every state in the United States. And I quote, "No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute, or offer consent or agree to pay or contribute, directly or indirectly, any money, property, free service of its officers or employees, or any other thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual, for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind." Notice lobbying was illegal too. "Or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office," end quote. They went on to point out that any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such a corporation will be subject to imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than one nor more than 5 years and a $100,000 fine. Corporations can't vote. What are they doing messing in our politics? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We've got some fascinating information about the history of American democracy, how we got where we are, how we got where we're going, and I've also got the policy papers of all the candidates that they've supplied to MoveOn.org. I want to go through those, too. Mark in Jupiter, Florida has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartmann program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you on. Welcome to our radio home here.
Oh, thanks.
What's up?
I was calling about the MoveOn.org primary.
Yes.
And I wanted to let you know that I was planning to vote for Bob Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, not just because I'm from Florida, because I'm a recent... I moved to Florida in the summer of 2000, so the 2000 election in Palm Beach County was my first experience with voting in Florida. But... No, I think he's a person with a lot of integrity, and if he managed to be at the top of the ticket, I think Bush administration knows that their days would be numbered because there's no way they could win without winning Florida. And Bob Graham is extremely popular in this state.
Interesting.
Probably my sentimental favorite is Dean, though.
Yeah, well, you're the first person who's called in to support Bob Graham. Not that a lot of people have called in to support a lot of people, but you know, I
right.
get a lot of Kucinich supporters and Dean supporters.
Yeah,
I'm wondering. Well, first of all, my official position on all of this is that I'll vote for anybody that the Democrats nominate. I'll even vote for Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, I would have to hold my nose to vote for him, but I'd do it too.
Yeah, but I'm curious. I mean, you're there in Florida. You've seen Bob Graham. What I've seen of Bob Graham in the media has been the caricature, and I'm very wary of that. I saw what they did to Ross Perot, you know, turned him into a cartoon character. And, you know, they talk about how he keeps these daily diaries of what he had for lunch and things, and portray him as kind of an obsessive, compulsive character. And I know that if he's been that effective a politician that long in a state that is large and relatively savvy, like Florida, there must be something to him. Why do you support Bob Graham?
Well, like I said, I think he's a person with a lot of integrity. The fact that he keeps those notebooks may very well mean that he's obsessive-compulsive. I probably am a little bit myself. But that could only be good for a president to actually know what happens from day to day. I thought it was funny, though. Did you see the interview with Katie Couric? I think it was Katie Couric where she read a parody of his notebooks in the Washington Post as fact and confronted him with the ridiculous things that were supposedly kept in his notebooks.
Oh, no. I watch very little TV. And I
Oh, yeah. Well, they had put in, obviously, as a joke, things like keeping track of what he ate for breakfast and that type of thing. And
I read that in the Post. It wasn't that Maureen Dowd from the New York Times who wrote that?
I'm not sure. It might have been. I'm not sure what it was. But she actually read those to him on the Today Show as if that was actually in his notebooks. And but actually, I've been surprised because I don't think Graham has been getting much media coverage at all.
No, he hasn't, because he's raising these uncomfortable issues of 9/11 where the media have been such cheerleaders and so uncritical.
Yeah,
and I suspect that he has the ability to bite the media in the butt as well as George W.
Right. That's another reason why I'm supporting him. Like I said, my most favorite is Dean, but I don't think Dean needs any help in the move-on primary, and I think Graham does.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm actually going to cast my vote for him.
Great.
Plus, like
Jupiter, Florida. I'm sorry.
Finish. Oh, actually, one more thing. You mentioned earlier that Limbaugh was trying to get people to go and vote for Dean and Kucinich. It just amused me because back in 92, the Bush campaign kept saying how much they would love to run against Bill Clinton, because if they ran against Bill Clinton, they would have an easy job of it.
Yeah.
And so I found it kind of amusing.
That bit them. Yeah, and thank you, Mark, for the call. I appreciate your comments, and thanks for calling into the show. That is interesting, and yet what they're remembering fondly, the Republicans, was Nixon's dirty trick that has been attributed to Charles Colson. Although I thought I had heard him talk about this on a radio program or a television program years and years ago, but I may well be wrong. But the story was that Nixon had concluded that Ed Muskie could beat him. They did the polls, and they knew that Ed Muskie was a man of integrity. He was a solid guy, and that he could beat Nixon. And in the early polls, it looked like if he ran, Nixon would be in trouble. And McGovern was the guy who was running against Muskie. He was kind of number two in the straw polls. And so Muskie's in New Hampshire, running on the Democratic primary. And somebody, so the story goes, somebody puts something, perhaps LSD is the story that you hear most commonly, in his coffee. And he gets up on the back of a flatbed truck and freaks out, starts crying about his wife, and just loses it. And that was the end of his political career. And this is a story that, as far as I know, has only been on the fluff level really thoroughly investigated, although there have been a lot of stories about it. If anybody has any information, I'd love to hear it. I can't say that it's absolutely true. It might be a vanishing hitchhiker story, but in any case, what the Republicans are hoping is that they can get another McGovern in. And what the Democrats are afraid of is that there'll be another McGovern. That is somebody who's a good guy, who has a good record, but just isn't strong enough to beat the president. And the Democratic Leadership Council just came out. These are the guys who say Democrats should be kind of Republican lights. They should take corporate money. They should recognize corporate personhood. They should get in bed with the corporations. We can have private government partnerships and all this kind of stuff. And they have come out and said that they're very concerned about Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean, who are not DLC members and don't support it. I've got a quote from them in here someplace, but it's down the stack away. We'll get to it later on as the program goes on. But let's review very quickly some of the positions of some of the candidates. Number one on the position of peace. I'll read the question that was asked, and then after the break we'll come back to the answers. The Bush administration has established the preemptive war doctrine as a cornerstone of its foreign policy. There's no end in sight to the ways in which this doctrine can be misused. Simply observe the lack of evidence in supporting the case for a war in Iraq. In other words, barring a change in policy, any country can become the target of our military might. Will you repeal Bush's preemptive war doctrine? This is the first question that MoveOn.org asked presidential candidates. I'll give you the answers when we come back from this break. Stay tuned. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Here's the problem with most test drives. You don't really get to test anything. You go around the block, maybe two if you're lucky, and the whole time a salesman's yapping nonstop, probably to cover up that weird noise that's coming from the engine compartment. Only one car company has the confidence to let you take a car home overnight and drive it on your terms. That company is GM. It's called the 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, to soccer practice, see what your friends think. There's no pressure to buy. It's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line, and we want you to be totally comfortable with it. Of course, you have to have a driver's license, you have to have insurance, you have to have approved credit. I know, we're real sticklers. Oh yes, you have to be 21. Just get to a participating dealer by July 21st. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24hour or call 1-800-508-1050.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Ooh, boy. We're really teaching those high-flying, finagling CEOs a lesson in corporate ethics, aren't we? The latest to have to take their medicine are six former top execs at Xerox Corporation. They were recently found by the SEC to have cooked the company books and illegally inflated profits by $1.4 billion over 4 years. These actions fraudulently misled investors and allowed the executives themselves to pocket millions in personal pay that they were not due. But pow! The SEC regulators have now socked the slippery-fingered six with $22 million in penalties. That'll teach them, right? Well, not exactly. It seems that under the sweetheart bylaws of the corporation, $19 million of this legal assessment will be picked up not by the executives, but by Xerox and its insurance companies. Plus, Xerox will pay the legal fees for the six. So it's you shareholders of Xerox and you ratepayers of the insurers who will pick up the bulk of the tab for these dirty-dealing executives, and ultimately, we taxpayers will be hit for it, since Xerox can deduct a chunk of this payout from its corporate income tax, claiming it as a cost of doing business. So what are the lessons here for other CEOs and for our children? Crime pays. Paul Allaire, for example, was the Xerox CEO who presided over this shameful ripoff, and he has to pay $1 million fine out of his own pocket. That sounds like a serious bit of punishment until you do the math. The SEC found that he had put $5.7 million worth of fraudulent gain in that pocket during the four-year scam. So his haul is a nice net of $4.7 million. The lawyer for All Air and another Xerox executive said that the two chieftains had settled so they could, quote, put this issue behind them and get on with their lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the world of corporate crime, instead of being sentenced to a hard jail bed, you get a golden pillow. So much for reforming corporate ethics.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking today about the upcoming vote on MoveOn.org and about the Democratic candidates. What kind of chances do they have? What kind of future is there out there for the Democrats? Are we moving to one-party rule in the United States? Are we already there, or is it just an illusion of a slim majority? Is the two-party process dead? I don't think so. Or, how are things going to go? Well, anyhow, let's get back to these questions. The first question that MoveOn.org, they had polled all the candidates. And this is really nice. I have not seen a good job done like this before where somebody actually boiled it down. What are the candidates saying? What do they have to say? By the way, if you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. On the issue of peace, the question... it had to do with the preemptive war doctrine. Will you repeal Bush's preemptive war doctrine? And Carol Mosley Brown says, our Constitution gives the power to declare war to the Congress. Since World War II, the Congress has essentially abdicated that power by passing resolutions authorizing the president to decide. The Congress erred in giving this president that authority. She goes on to say, repealing the resolution is a bit like closing the barn door. Too late, but yes, I believe that this administration's claim of a right to start a war based not on aggression but on suspicion is dangerous and ought to be rejected by the American people. She doesn't get into the actual doctrine that was proclaimed in the American security policy. I'll have to dig that thing out and read it here on the air one of these days. Howard Dean, he said, I've said all along that the Bush doctrine of preemptive war is wrong for America and sets a dangerous precedent. The Democrats in Washington should have known this before they voted for this president's war in Iraq. In fact, they did know it. In September of 2002, Al Gore warned that voting... Now, this was when George Bush was trying to pull his October surprise. In September of 2002, he wanted to get this vote through so that during October and November, he could do war talk and get all these people out in the streets, and it would completely deflect attention away from the corporate crimes and scandals and the Dick Cheney being investigated and all these other things that were going on. And he was successful in doing it. So anyhow, Howard Dean says, in September of 2002, Al Gore warned that voting for the Iraqi resolution would create, quote, the precedent for preemptive action anywhere, anytime this or any future president so decides, end quote. There are many reasons to oppose the war in Iraq, but that reason alone was paramount. Yet too many Democrats in Congress still voted for the war. It's incredible to me that so many who supported the war, knowing that it would set this precedent, now say they are opposed to the doctrine of preemption. If they're opposed to the doctrine of preemption, why did they vote for this preemptive war? I oppose the president's war in Iraq. I continue to stand against this policy of preemption, and on my first day in office, I will tear up the Bush doctrine and rebuild a foreign policy consistent with American values. John Edwards asked the question, what do you think about the policy of preemption? He says, the Bush administration's preemption doctrine is unnecessary and unwise. The United States has always had the right to protect itself against threats to our national security. It's called self-defense. It isn't controversial, and it doesn't need a fancy new doctrine. But this administration hasn't just reasserted our right to self-defense. That would have been fine, especially when our security sometimes requires us to act before terrorists act or strike. Instead, they asserted a new doctrine that suggests that suggests a uniquely American right to use force wherever and whenever we decide it's appropriate. Some in this administration seem to believe that military force should be used as first resort to meet our legitimate foreign policy goals. The administration's provocative new doctrine has been distracting and damaging, says John Edwards. At a time when we should be working to lead the world towards solutions on critical problems like North Korea and post-war Iraq, it is completely counterproductive for the administration to pronounce a doctrine that it is not only unnecessary to justify action, but that it alienates our friends and makes cooperation more difficult. We're going through the candidates' responses to the MoveOn.org PAC. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Poverty, not affluence, is the environment's worst enemy, according to a new book. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Industrialized nations, led by the United States, consume far more resources and create more pollution than developing countries do. Critics often point to this big ecological footprint when assigning blame for the world's environmental problems. But a new book argues that our affluent lifestyle is not the culprit, poverty is. Jack Hollander is the author of The Real Environmental Crisis.
Affluence, in fact, is a friend of the environment and a prerequisite for environmental quality, and I point my finger at poverty as the enemy of the environment. It's kind of the opposite from the thought that the industrial society is the enemy.
Hollander says he's not blaming poor people. He says they're the victims of the worst combination of circumstances, and they lack the power to solve environmental problems. He says industrial nations have to take the lead, and Hollander says they're doing a pretty good job.
All indicators are that the environment is getting better, not worse. Our air is better than it has been in decades. Our water is better. Our food supply is cleaner and safer. Our forests have recovered. Our industry is becoming more and more efficient. Resources are becoming ever cheaper. That's not to say that the present state of our environment is good enough. Of course, it's not. But the point is, the richer we get, the better environment will demand.
Hollander says that's the key, ensuring that everyone has a high enough standard of living to be able to make environmental quality a priority. He says wealthy countries can help others rise from poverty through a combination of foreign aid, trade, and democratic reform. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a fortune's man.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Broadcasting coast to coast and on the Sirius satellite from the Arctic to the to Central America. Welcome back to the program. We're going through some of the comments and answers to questions by the Democratic candidates, the questions put to them by the MoveOn.org PAC. And if you have a comment you'd like to make about the candidate of your choice or questions that you think should be asked or anything like that, if you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. It's 1-800-825-5937. Bob Graham, when asked, would you repeal the Bush doctrine of preemptive war, said, quote, as former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, I know firsthand how little the Bush administration has done to fight the war on terror and protect us from threats abroad. That's a pretty strong charge there, Bob. He says, I opposed and voted against authorizing the United States to go to war with Iraq because I simply felt it was a distraction from the real threats facing this country, and it only enhanced the hatred of America abroad by those with the will and means to attack our people. We have now lost nearly all the worldwide support we garnered after September 11, 2001, and our standing in the world is being questioned. This is not the way to achieve peace and security for all people. He goes on to say, now 6 weeks after the war in Iraq ended, no weapons of mass destruction have been found. I hope we do find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq because America's credibility is at stake. I fear that intelligence data was manipulated to sell the administration's case for war to the American people and the world. John Kerry says, I spoke out against it during the Senate's Iraq debate, although I think he voted for it, stating that we should not be giving Bush carte blanche to run roughshod over every country that it poses that poses or may pose a potential threat to the United States. Bush's position is a blanket doctrine that can easily be misinterpreted and misapplied. The last thing we need is for India to justify an attack on Pakistan or China on Taiwan on the basis that it's acceptable because it's preemptive. Going through this, he does not say that he will do away with this. He just speaks out against it. And Kucinich says, as president, I will repeal the preemptive war doctrine. In Congress, I marshaled opposition to this doctrine before, during, and after the Iraq War. It is a centerpiece of my campaign. When the president arrogates to himself the right to wage wars to prevent wars, as President Bush has done, he opens the door to aggression against any nation for practically any reason he wants and without evidence of a threat. On Capitol Hill today, I'm continuing my 9-month battle for the evidence that Iraq represented an imminent threat requiring preemption. He goes on to say, not only will I repeal this doctrine, but I will work to establish a cabinet-level Department of Peace and Nonviolence to develop nonviolent approaches to domestic and international problems. The only preventative wars I want to wage are against world hunger, disease, dirty water and air, homelessness, and the shortage of schools. It's time for America to tell the world that we wish to be their partner in peace, not their leader in war. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Raymond from Michigan is on the line. Raymond, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey, listen, we're talking about the candidates for the Democratic nomination, and, you know, we've got that group out there that's promoting General Wesley Clark to get into the fray for the Democratic Party nomination. What do you think about that and some of his statements? I know, for example, the other day I heard him say that one thing that he thought we needed to cure domestically was this healthcare problem, because it's putting pressure on the unemployment. People don't hire people because it costs too much, and they want more hours out of people. So, anyways, I just kind of want to get your thoughts on where that might be going.
Okay. Thank you, Raymond. It's interesting. I saw Wesley Clark make his essentially announcement on I think it was Meet the Press with Tim Russert The weekend, last weekend or the weekend before, not this last weekend, but a week ago weekend, as I recall. And what amazed me was how blunt this former general and commander of Allied forces was. I mean, this is a guy who held Eisenhower's position, and how outspoken he was about how destructive Bush's policies are to the United States, and how almost no American media picked that story up. I mean, he said things on that show with Tim Russert that were just absolutely explosive. And I did not see those. Now, perhaps I just missed it, but I read the papers pretty well. I didn't see those quotes in the New York Times. I didn't see them in the Washington Post. I didn't see them being picked up by the major television networks. They certainly weren't on Fox News. It was as if he was speaking into a hole in the ground. It just, boom, you know, a faint echo, and then it was gone. My guess when I was listening to it was that Wesley Clark was not running for president, that he was running for vice president. But time will tell. Time will tell. He seemed like a decent guy based on the piece that I saw. I don't know enough about him to be able to offer an opinion, though. Thanks for the call, Raymond. I appreciate your raising the question. And finally, among the presidential candidates answering the question about peace, would you repeal George Bush's preemptive war doctrine, which is this radical departure after 227 years of America having the official policy, actually longer than that, because the Declaration of Independence did not declare a preemptive war. There was a bill of particulars attached to it that cited how we were the victims of aggression and we were simply retaliating, and they made that very clear to the world. Would you repeal this new doctrine, this new direction that America is going in? And the last candidate, Al Sharpton, these were presented alphabetically, said, yes, I would repeal it. It's a dangerous and traditionally un-American doctrine. If we can preemptively attack Iraq using shaky intelligence, facts, and an imminent threat theory that was not convincing to most of the rest of the world, what's to stop Russia from attacking Chechnya, China from attacking Taiwan, North Korea from attacking South Korea, Israel from attacking Iran or Syria, or Pakistan and India from attacking one another? Within the framework of the United Nations, if an attack on the United States is imminent, we already have the right to preemptive self-defense under existing international law. Now, MoveOn.org asked a series of questions. As I recall, there were nine of them, or seven of them. Yeah, seven of them. And we'll deal with one every day for the next week or so. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the air reading stuff. Well, that's interesting. Louise just said, what about Lieberman? Mosley Brown we started with. G-H-I-J-K-L. Joe Lieberman apparently chose not to participate or not to answer, because I do not see an answer by Lieberman on any of these. That's interesting. We'll look into that and find out why we see no evidence of Joe Lieberman on there. Is this a democracy or a republic? Although literate societies had existed for thousands of years before Greek civilization flourished in the millennia before Christ, it was in Greek society that we found the first clear and explicit signs, the earliest voices of what we now consider the modern city-state form of government that we call democracy. In fact, our word politics comes from the Greek word polis, which meant a city that governed itself independent of any other state or nation. Most Greek city-states, or poli, during the period from 1000 B.C. to around 300 B.C., were small enclaves built by farmers for their own defense. Typically, they were made up of a few hundred to a few thousand people and had an agora, or marketplace, in city center, which became both the commercial, social, and political hub of the city. So you see how originally democracy, what our modern version of democracy, or that part of it that we got from the Greeks, which is not the whole thing. We got a big chunk of it from the Iroquois as well, that our democracy came from the idea of, or came from these small agricultural communities. Although this would seem to be a prescription for uniformity, the histories left to us indicate that there were huge differences between the hundreds of Greek city-state poli. The culture that gave us the word criticism, for example, as in judging, particularly when evaluating drama, like a dramatic critic isn't saying something negative, they're judging something, also invented the concept of political theory, first published around 420 B.C., in the histories of Herodotus of Halicarnassus. The Greeks realized their various different types of poli were experiments in governance, and their philosophers and politicians discussed and debated at length the concepts of self-governance. It's really interesting because we can go back and read these discussions, sort of like the things, if you want to really understand democracy, the things, at least American democracy, the things that are really interesting to read, Paul de Rapin de Toras's book, A History of England, which is out of print now. I'm going to share some pieces with you of this over the following week. I don't think we'll have time to get to them today, but this went out of print around 1780. And Thomas Jefferson called it the most important book that was ever written. He wrote a letter to the president of the University of Virginia, which he, of course, had helped start as part of his campaign to bring free public education all the way through college to anybody who wanted it and who was capable of participating in it. Jefferson wrote a letter saying that if the library only had two books, Agricola and Paul de Rapin de Toras's History of America should be those two books. And it's remarkable. We'll get back to that. But just the same as tribal groups, which a lot of, you know, this new democracy experiment among the Greeks was really based on tribal people. And just as with tribal groups, nearly every poli was made up of people related by blood. Some saw this as essential to multi-generational self-governance. Similarly, regular participation in the civil life of the community, serving in the military, participating in religious ceremonies, participating on juries and joining groups that performed or produced art, were all considered necessary for a society to work. They had what we would today call compulsory service. In Germany, for example, once you graduate from high school, whether you're going to college or not, no matter what, no deferments, you must either join the army for a year. Maybe it's 2 years, I don't recall. You must either join the army or sign up for a national service program where you work for free in a hospital with a nonprofit organization, rebuilding forests, a whole variety of fascinating things that you can do. But there's that rite of, it satisfies two things. It satisfies the cultural need for a rite of passage, and it satisfies the need of a society to have members in the society who feel that they have an investment in it, who feel like they've put in something for their country, that they have become part of it. As part of their rite of passage, they have experienced a commitment-producing process. People who didn't participate in ancient Sparta, for example, were called inferiors. That's where the word came from. And in Athens, which is really where democracy went full bore, the word used to describe a person who didn't regularly participate in political activity or debate was idiota, which is where the word idiot comes from. Community population numbers were also a big concern. Both Plato and Aristotle, who, by the way, were both opposed to democracy broadly, suggested that it could only work in a civil society that was constrained in size. In Aristotle's Politics, he says, quote, "It is necessary for the citizens to be of such a number that they knew each other's personal qualities and thus can elect their officials and judge their fellows in a court of law sensibly," end quote. Plato said that the maximum number of people who could live in a polis, in a self-regulating city or state, was 5,040. And it's interesting, there was a book that came out a couple of years ago in the U.K., I will have to get you the name of the author and one of those senior moments here, but it was cited in the Tipping Point by Roddy Dowell, I think is his name, in which this researcher had found that the average human being can keep track of no more than 150 names. You can know 150 people and that's it. And he also found that the typical tribal size was 150. And that when tribes exceed 150, that's when they split. And you see this with some successful companies. The company that manufactures Kevlar, I think it's Gore-Tex Corporation or Gore Corporation, whenever they get more than 150 people in a factory, whenever a factory grows to that size, they split off and create a whole new one. So it's all these different little factories all around. One of the best-run companies in America. So So the challenge that the founders were facing when they were trying to come up with democracy was, number one, this size barrier that the Greeks had pointed out. You know, when communities reach a certain size, when they get larger than that, or as Aristotle said, when people are no longer able to, quote, know each other's personal qualities, end quote, that it's possible for people to just lie or misrepresent themselves, and you end up with, you know, voting for politicians, bringing people into power who don't necessarily have the best interests of the community in mind. They're pursuing some agenda of their own. They're off in some other direction. So this was part of the big debate that happened back in the 1770s and 1780s during the American Revolution, after the American Revolution, and during the Constitutional Convention, was whether our elected representatives should have the power to make decisions. Among the Iroquois, for example, which we based much of our government on, keep in mind the Greek democracy that everybody likes to point to, the Athenian experiment that lasted about 225 years until it was wiped out by Alexander the Great a couple hundred years before Christ, that in that experiment, that Athenian democracy experiment, there was no vote. You didn't vote for elected representatives. They did not have an elected representative. The way that it worked was everybody put their name into a lottery, and you didn't have any choice. Your name went into the lottery if you were a citizen. And every year, for 1 year, they would draw names out of the lottery, pull names out of the hat, and those people would serve. Well, so the founders of this country were facing this situation of, you know, how do we do this in a way that actually involves elections, and should these people be allowed to make decisions? Among the Iroquois, the Sachem, the men who participated in the tribal councils, they could not make decisions. They had to go back to their individual tribes, and the decisions were made by the women. But there was a consensus that the country was going to grow large enough that wouldn't work. Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll finish up this discussion.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing Quick Dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. Allivert is prescription-strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New Quick Dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
For the best deals on Goodyear brand tires, let your nose lead you to the Goodyear Smell the Savings Tire Sale. You'll find huge savings on Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, get up to a $60 rebate with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. That's up to $60 back. So you'll save money and get the quality Goodyear tires you need. But you better hurry. These offers end July 12th. For complete details and the Goodyear store near you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Summer's here, and we can't think of a better way to kick it off than with a new car and an extra $4,000 in your pocket. Because right now, General Motors is offering $4,000 cash back on every 2003 Chevy Cavalier, S10, Tracker, and Avalanche, Pontiac, Sunfire, Grand Prix, and four-cylinder Grand Am, Old Silhouette, Buick LeSabre, and GMC Sonoma. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% APR financing for 5 years. You can't beat it. So if you've been putting off buying a car or truck, don't wait any longer. GM's making it easy for just about anybody who needs a car or truck to buy one. $4,000 back or 0% APR from the Great American Car Company. Now through July 7th, just in time for summer. You know there's a car or truck that's right for you. Come find it. Monthly payment is $16.67 for every $1,000 you finance. Example down payment approximately 12%. Some customers will not qualify. Take delivery by 7703. See dealer for details.
hear that Doug made his confession that he used hair color?
Yeah,
you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month, you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tell it all, brother, before we fall. Tell it all, brothers and sisters. Tell it all.
How much you're holding back on me. When you say you're giving all, and in the dungeons of your mind, who you got chained to the wall?
Tell it all, brother, before we fall. Tell it all, brothers and sisters.
You plant your feet on higher ground.
Have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America.
Okay, when I was in school back in the 1950s and 1960s, we were taught that the United States lived in a democracy. In the early 80s, however, as the Reagan Revolution took hold and right-wing talk radio made a rise, Newt Gingrich came up with the idea, apparently, that democracy sounded too much like Democrats and a republic sounded more like Republicans, so let's change the words. Well, actually, it wasn't entirely Newt's idea. It goes back to James Madison. Prior to Federalist Number 10, James Madison, in which Madison redefined the words Republican and Republican democracy, America was considered the words Republic and democracy were absolutely interchangeable in all the dictionaries. And a lot of the concern that people had, because this issue of proportional representation had not been addressed, and still hasn't to this day in the United States, even though it is in most other nations, was what to do about this. So Madison came up with these two terms, republic and democracy, and said a republic is a rule of law, and a democracy is, people get to vote, and the majority wins. And the Republic part would constrain that. So we have this synthesis of the two. What direction is it going to go? Time will tell. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.